Chapter 3. 5 years later. On a windy March morning in 1780, Tellson's messenger, Jerry Cruncher, arrived at the Old Bailey in London with a message for Mr. Lorry. His orders were to give the note to the doorman and then wait inside the courtroom during the trial. At the end, he should return to the bank with the judgment. Jerry looked around him. The courtroom was crowded with people wanting to see a man who was surely the most evil of all prisoners, who deserved the worst possible punishment. The lawyers in wigs were already seated. After giving his note to the doorman, Jerry sat down and asked his neighbour what the trial was about.
"Treason," the man replied. "He'll be hanged."
"You mean if he's guilty?"
"Oh, they'll find him guilty, all right."
The noise in the courtroom stopped as the judge entered. Two guards followed, bringing in the prisoner. Everyone stared at the handsome young man. He was about 25, with dark eyes and long dark hair tied with a ribbon. He stood quietly, showing nothing of the anxiety he felt. Suddenly, his calm face changed as he noticed two people seated near the judge. Everyone turned to see what had caused him this shock, and they saw a gentleman with pure white hair and a young lady who looked back at the prisoner with great pity. It took all Jerry's concentration to follow the trial of this Englishman, Charles Darnay. He was accused of treason, Jerry understood, of travelling between France and England on secret business for 5 years, helping the King of France in his wars against the King of England. And although it could not be proved that the handwriting on papers found in his room was the prisoner's, this was only because the prisoner was so clever. The jury would surely find him guilty. Halfway through the morning, Mr. Jarvis Lorry was called as a witness.
"You work for Tellson's Bank?" asked one of the lawyers in wigs.
"I do."
"In November 1775, you travelled to Calais on business. Did you meet the prisoner at that time?"
"I did. I was returning to England from France, and the prisoner was on the same ship."
"Were you travelling alone, Mr. Lorry?"
"No, with two companions, a gentleman and a lady. They are both here."
"Did you speak to the prisoner on the journey?"
"Very little. There was a storm that night and I had to lie down for most of the journey."
"Miss Manette, please stand."
The young lady stood up and her father got up beside her, keeping her hand through his arm.
"Miss Manette, look at the prisoner. Have you seen him before?"
"Yes, sir. On the ship from Calais, on the day just described."
"Did you speak to the prisoner?"
"Yes, sir. The gentleman..."
"Do you mean the prisoner?"
"Yes, sir. The prisoner noticed that my father was very tired and weak. I was afraid to take him inside, away from the fresh air, and the prisoner helped me to make a bed for him. He showed great kindness to my father."
"Was the prisoner alone?"
"He came onto the ship with two French gentlemen who got off before the ship sailed."
"What did they discuss?"
"I don't know. I didn't hear what they said."
Next, her father, Alexandre Manette, was called.
"Dr. Manette, look at the prisoner. Have you ever seen him before?"
"Once, when he came to visit me in London about 3 years ago."
Do you remember seeing him on the ship from Calais, which your daughter has just spoken about?
No,
he replied quietly.
I have no memory at all of that day.
Is there a reason for that? Weren't you unfortunate enough to be sent to prison without a trial in your own country, France, for many years?
Yes, I'm told that I was freed from the Bastille not long before this journey, but I remember nothing of that time.
Other witnesses were called, and Jerry concentrated hard. The prisoner had documents in his room with details about England's army and ships, which he was planning to take to France. The man who had found these papers, John Barsad, was questioned by the lawyers on both sides. Jerry listened as the case went backwards and forwards between the lawyers who were defending Charles Darnay and those who were accusing him. One minute, Barsad was a hired spy, paid to pass information, and the documents he had found were false. Then, no, Barsad was an honest man, 100 times better than Jerry had just thought him to be, and the prisoner 100 times worse. Another witness was called, who had seen the prisoner near an army building, collecting information. As this witness was questioned, a young lawyer sitting with Mr. Stryver, the prisoner's defence lawyer, wrote a note and passed it to his boss. Until now, this young lawyer had spent most of the trial looking up at the ceiling. Mr. Stryver read the note. "Are you quite sure it was the prisoner you saw?" he asked the witness. "Did you ever see anybody very like the prisoner? Look at this gentleman here," he said, pointing at the young lawyer next to him. "Would you say that he and the prisoner look alike?" The young lawyer, whose name was Sidney Carton, took off his wig. Although he was much more carelessly dressed than the prisoner, they looked so alike that it surprised not only the witness, but everybody in the courtroom. Mr. Stryver and the young lawyer had shown that it was impossible to prove that the man the witness had seen was Charles Darnay. Late in the afternoon, the jury went out to discuss the case. The trial would continue when their decision was reached. As Sidney Carton watched Miss Manette's father helping her outside, he noticed how pale and ill she looked. A short while later, he found Mr. Lorry and asked him how the young lady was.
"She's very anxious about her father. This trial is recalling his own terrible memories of being in prison," said Mr. Lorry. "But she's feeling better outside in the fresh air, and her father is comforting her."
Carton then went to speak to the prisoner.
"Mr. Darnay, I believe you may be worried about the witness, Miss Manette. She will soon be better."
"I'm extremely sorry to have caused her this suffering. Please, could you tell her?" Darnay asked.
"I will," replied Carton.
After an hour and a half, the jury returned and announced their decision, not guilty. Outside the Old Bailey, Dr. Manette, Lucy, Mr. Lorry and Mr. Stryver stood round Charles Darnay, who had had a lucky escape from death. Darnay kissed Lucy's hand and then turned to thank Mr. Stryver.
"I owe you my life," he said.
"You were wrongly accused, but that doesn't always affect the judgment. Now, I still have a night's work to do,"
answered Mr. Stryver.
Father, shall we go home?
Said Lucy, softly laying her hand on his, and they went with Mr. Lorry, leaving Darnay alone. Carton stepped forward.
This must be a strange night, standing here with your double, he said.
I hardly seem to belong to this world. I feel faint, answered Darnay.
Then let's go and eat, said Carton, putting his arm through Darnay's and leading him away.
At dinner, Carton refilled his own wine glass often.
I'd be glad to forget that I belong to this world, he said when they had finished eating. There isn't much good in it for me, except for wine like this.
Darnay did not know how to answer and was silent.
Why don't you raise your glass to the young lady? Continued Carton.
Who do you mean?
You know who I mean.
To Miss Manette, then, said Darnay, raising his glass.
To Miss Manette!
Carton emptied his glass quickly and filled it again.
How does it feel to be the object of such a beautiful young lady's pity? Is it worth going on trial for your life?
Again, Darnay did not reply.
She was very pleased to get your message when I gave it to her, Carton went on.
At this, Darnay was reminded of the help that his strange companion had given him at the trial, and he thanked him.
I neither want thanks nor deserve any, Carton replied, finishing another glass of wine. I don't know why I did it. I don't think I like you.
Darnay was surprised again by his companion. But there's nothing to stop me paying the bill as a friend, he said politely.
Nothing at all, Carton agreed. A last word, Mr. Darnay. Do you think I am drunk?
I think you've been drinking, Mr. Carton.
Then I'll tell you why. I'm a disappointed man. I care for no one on earth, and no one on earth cares for me.
That's a pity. You have talents and could use them better, replied Darnay. When Darnay had gone, Carton said to himself,
Why should I like this man who looks like me? He shows me what is missing from my life. If I could change places with him, those beautiful blue eyes would look at me the way they looked at him. Come on, be honest, Sydney. You hate the man.
Then he finished another glass of wine, put his head down on the table, and fell asleep. When he woke up, he returned to Mr. Stryver's office, where his boss lay sleeping on the sofa, and worked until the sun rose.